puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Time now for Abandoned Manitoba, where we check in with Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Remind us of the clue from last week.
Well, today we're considering another building in limbo. That's a vacant building whose fate is presently uncertain. This time, it's a 72-year-old Winnipeg building that is particularly significant to me, as it's where I was born, along with, I suspect, a whole lot of other Manitobans. We're talking today about the Women's Pavilion on Notre Dame Avenue.
Was this the city's first maternity hospital?
Oh, no, actually, hospitals specifically for pregnant women and their children go back much farther in Winnipeg's history. In 1883, a group of local women called the Christian Women's Union established the first maternity hospital in Manitoba. It was in a former home on Bannatyne Avenue overlooking the Red River, and it supported unwed women, poor married women, and women from rural Manitoba who came into the city seeking better medical care. Now, the hospital itself moved a few times from building to building until finally Manitoba's medical community recognized the value of having such a facility. So in 1888, a maternity wing opened as part of the Winnipeg General Hospital, which was located on the site of today's Health Sciences Center.
Was this the only maternity hospital in Winnipeg?
No, there were at least two other public ones. In 1898, four nuns from the Sisters of Mercy Order came here from Montreal to open a mission to care for unwed mothers. Demand grew so fast that 2 years later, in 1900, they opened a purpose-built three-story building as a maternity hospital. Additional wings were constructed in 1907, and that more than doubled its size. By 1917, the facility had transformed from the Misericordia Maternity Hospital to the Misericordia General Hospital to provide all types of medical care for the surrounding neighborhoods, not just maternity. And there's a similar origin story for today's Grace Hospital.
It began as a maternity hospital then.
Yes, it did. So in 1906, the Salvation Army opened its first incorporated hospital in Canada on Arlington Street, just a few blocks northwest of the Misericordia. It served primarily as a maternity hospital, too, until it became a general hospital, this time in 1929. And there were also a number of smaller facilities around Winnipeg, mostly operating out of private homes, that tended new mothers and their children.
Were there maternity hospitals elsewhere in Manitoba?
Yeah, it was, it's worth noting here that in the early 20th century, over 90% of the births in Manitoba, even here in Winnipeg, happened at home. So dedicated maternity facilities, such as the one we're discussing here, were used primarily for people who, for one reason or another, could not deliver at home or who had the means to afford higher-priced medical care during pregnancy and birth. But yes, in answer to your question, there were maternity facilities outside of Winnipeg. So, for example, the Brandon General Hospital got a dedicated maternity ward in 1922 when a new hospital building was constructed and two floors of the former building were renovated for the care of children and pregnant women. Smaller communities, they also had facilities, often somewhat informal ones for the care of women and their babies. A couple of which I'm aware, there is a two-story brick building at Hartney that was at one time known as the Galbraith House. It operated for some time as a maternity hospital. And at Birtle, there was the Hatch House, where midwife Margaret Henderson delivered scores of babies in the early 20th century. Both of those houses are still standing, but as far as I know, neither one of them is being used as a medical facility.
Coming back to Winnipeg, when was the Women's Pavilion constructed?
Well, through the first half of the 20th century, the number of babies and the percentage of total births that were occurring at the Winnipeg General Hospital increased rapidly, especially in the 1930s and 1940s. I suspect because there were fewer births taking place at home, more of them were being done in the formal hospital environment. Well, after the Second World War, there was considerable overcrowding in the maternity ward of the hospital, and that motivated plans to construct a new building exclusively for use as a maternity hospital. tenders for it were called in 1946, but I think they came in substantially higher than the initial estimates, so they were kind of put on hold for a while. Finally, construction got underway in 1949, and the new facility opened officially on the 26th of April, 1950. You know, coincidentally, that was just days before the catastrophic flood of 1950 would hit the city.
What did the new pavilion look like?
Well, it was built at a cost of $1.25 million. And that didn't include the furnishings and equipment. They actually had to fundraise separately for those things. But this new 132-bed maternity pavilion, as it was called, was a five-story building with wards on three of the floors. That's where the mothers would stay after, or before, I guess, and after they had delivered. There was a delivery ward on the fourth floor that had 10 labor rooms and 8 delivery rooms. And on the top floor, there was a nurse's residence where the nurses would actually live. The building featured such modern amenities as air conditioning, which, of course, we take for granted today, but that was really quite a novelty at that time. There was a washroom in each patient room. That, too, was unusual. There was voice communication that allowed patients to talk with the nurses on duty. And there were oxygen lines that had been installed throughout the building, so it was no longer necessary to haul bulky oxygen tanks around when they were needed. A newspaper report at the time that noted, and this is a direct quote, it said, "Expectant fathers are not forgotten in the new structure. Waiting rooms have been provided on each floor, and hospital authorities promise there will be plenty of ashtrays for nervous husbands," end quote. You know, the implication, of course, is that new fathers had no role to play in the baby's delivery, something that I think has fortunately changed in the 72 years since the pavilion opened. You know, I'm very proud to say that I attended the birth of my two children, and it was the most profound experience of my life.
But Gordon, did you have an ashtray?
I did not. I was all gowned up. I had a mask on my face, so I don't think it would have been terribly easy to smoke. And I don't think the surgeon would have been particularly pleased with me if I had tried either.
It is funny to think that men were not in the delivery room at one point in time.
You know, they start the process, you'd think that they should be there for the conclusion.
You called the new building the maternity pavilion and not the women's pavilion. Why is that?
Well, it turned out the building had more space than was needed for birthing babies, while the rest of the hospital was overcrowded. In 1957, the nurses that had been living on the top floor, they got moved out to a newly built nurse's residence, and that space on the top was turned over for use by gynecology and female surgery cases. Well, of course, because these patients did not involve maternity, they decided, I think, that they needed a more generic name than maternity pavilion, so it became the women's pavilion, and that's the name by which generations of us know it.
How many of Winnipeg's births occurred at the new pavilion?
In the first few months of its operation, that new maternity hospital delivered 1,846 babies. That was a little over 70% of the ones born at the hospital. There were still a few being born elsewhere in the hospital. In its first full year of operation, 1951, 3,248 babies were born in the pavilion out of a total birth rate for the entire city of about 70%. You know, in other words, roughly half of Winnipeg's babies were being born in this building in 1951. I presume the rest of them were probably born at the other maternity hospitals or at home. In my case, my parents chose the women's pavilion because it was the closest hospital to where they were living at the time. They were living over on Sherbrooke Street, which is just a few blocks away. Of course, I have no recollection of my birth, but I nevertheless have a soft spot in my heart for the place where I came into this world, as I suspect do thousands of other Manitobans who were born there.
I gotta ask, what is the pavilion's present status?
Well, it was closed in December of 2019, following the opening of a new women's hospital nearby on William Avenue. At that time, it was announced the building would become a facility for the care of people who had had strokes. I drove by the building the other day, and it appears that renovation work is now actively underway. There is a large dumpster standing out front that suggests that some of the interior is being demolished, probably, I guess, to make it more suitable for its new purpose. So in a very real way, I think the building may not be in limbo much longer. And that's really good to hear, because I really don't like seeing very important buildings such as this one just sitting unused.
Efforts to preserve the buildings at any cost, I think, is necessary.
Absolutely, especially when they were innovative for their time and are still quite practically useful.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that, Gordon. What's up next week?
Well, we're going to talk about an abandoned site on the east side of Portage-la-Prairie that for many years was a well-known institution dating back to 1954 when a canoe came together with automobiles.
Thank you, Gordon. Of course, this is my last show on the Weekend Morning Show. It was a great pleasure talking to you over the last few months.
And it's been a pleasure working with you too, Stephanie. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.